To a very interesting book I've been preaching on for a number of months on and off, mainly in the evening service. I've brought maybe one or two sermons out in the light of day here from Ecclesiastes 1 through 7, but now another one. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. Let's now hear from God's precious word. This is his word, therefore we want to hear it first and then talk about it. This being the inspired word of God, it cannot be wrong. So let's hear it. Ecclesiastes 8, beginning verse 9. All this have I seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There's a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. So I saw the wicked buried and had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, and that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of the labor of his labor, the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night see it sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. May the Lord bless us with wisdom and understanding through the reading and even more through the hearing of his precious word. Heavenly Lord, bless us now in our heart, in our mind, for your great name's sake we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, the first thing that I want to kind of clear up here and say is that, along with other commentators on this these verses and actually the whole of chapter 8, is that this is a confession of faith. And so faith is here, is really salient in trying to understand what's going on. I'm going to try to unpack it verse by verse a bit for us in the way I normally do this in going through Ecclesiastes, but there's such wisdom in it that it's best to go kind of verse by verse in emphasizing what the wise writer is saying. And there is a lot of wisdom in this. The thing that you might notice is that from verse 11, for example, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, they continue to do evil when God doesn't send judgment on them right away, which we think he should. They continue to expand in their wicked ways, which is what you see going on today, right? In high places as well as low places. You see so much wickedness, so much corruption, so much evil, and it just seems to be getting worse, right? Because one reason why is they get away with it. Not only do they get away with it before God, they get away with it before the laws of men. They get away with it. A lot of these politicians and lawyers and wicked, wicked people doing terrible things are getting away. They're smiling. And so it frustrates us. Frustrates me. I want them to be zapped right away. I want God to send lightning to their houses. That's the way I feel. But actually, I don't want that, because then it's my will to be done and not God's will. There's something else going on here. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. But in order to get to understand it, you have to exercise the gift of faith. That, or else it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. Because by all rights, these people who lie under oath and who commit all kinds of evil against people better than they are, not perfect, not without their own faults, but better than they are, they should be walking out of the door into the grave. But they're not. And people try to, well, eventually it's going to work out. Eventually they're going to get their comeuppance. And they don't. Like he said here, and I pointed this out last time in the evening service. And so I saw, verse 10, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. And this also is vanity. Now, it's said in a way that we might not grasp immediately what's going on here, but what the wise writer is pointing out is that here's this person who lived the wicked life day in, day out, and did evil in the sight. And what happens at his funeral? He's eulogized. And everybody is just marveling about him and is, you know, just like the righteous man who dies. They say good things about him, and they, you know, you don't talk ill of the dead. You know, that's just being polite. You don't speak ill of the dead. And so he's kind of honored in his death. And then they go about their business in the city as if he never did all this wickedness. It's kind of forgotten. It's okay, he's gone, and it's just forgotten. Instead of something held to account, hold his family to account, you know, punish them for his sin. You know, nothing like that's happened. It's just forgotten. It's just life goes on. That's what's being told here. And it's frustrating. It's something that confuses us from time to time. They don't get what they deserve in the here and now oftentimes. And Lord, we want them to get what they deserve in the here and now. That's not the way it works, is it? Mostly. But I'm going to talk about the loss of the wicked. And then secondly, I'm going to talk about the profit of the righteous, or those who fear God. In this particular context, it's the righteous are those who fear God. Reverence him, wonder at him, are in awe, know that it is an awful thing to fall into the hands of God. And then I want to talk about our limited understanding of things, and the third point. And the fourth point I want to talk about, end up with the conclusion on the matter. How are we to understand all this? And so, for those of us who think that they should get what they deserve in the here and now, and that the wicked go on in their way without getting what they deserve and think that they're okay, that everything is going to be fine with them, they're sadly mistaken. They are very, very wrong. But again, in order to understand that they're wrong, that they're getting away with it, you must exercise faith. Faith in the Word of God, faith in the Son of God, who has died to set us free from our sin, but not them who disbelieve. And so we hear that though a sinner, verse 12, do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Okay, let's stop. What's going on here? All right. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. And then in verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. Okay, so the word prolong is used twice here. Once to talk about the activities, his days being prolonged, his activities of wickedness being prolonged, day by day by day, going on and on. And then in verse 13, it's talking about his days being shortened, his days not being prolonged, the days of his life not being prolonged. So again, what's going on here, right? And if you're a skeptic and you don't believe this is the word of God and God cannot make errors and God doesn't contradict himself and all that, then you realize that this is wisdom. This is just pregnant with wisdom. Yet I don't understand it altogether, right? It's okay. I don't either. I'm not saying I do and you don't. There's something going on here that I think I can explain a little bit. Not I, but others who have commented on it, and I've read up on it, and you know, I've thought about it, I've prayed about it, and I think I got a hold on it, you know, as much as I can in my limited understanding, with my limited intellect, get it. And so I'm going to try to explain it to you, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right? If I say I understand something, but I can't explain it to you, what good is it? Right? That's a lot of you. You ever see, have that? Well, I don't have the words. I know what I want. What good are you? You got to calm down and try to develop your thinking to a point where you can explain what you think you know. Remember, knowledge is never false. You can't know something false. That's falsehood. Knowledge is always correct. I know something. Well, then, explain it. I understand this. Now, let me see if I can explain it. If I can't, it's my fault. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, yet truly I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Okay, so it's going to be okay for those of us who fear God, who revere his name, who worship him with understanding and all that. But for those who do evil, what's happening here is that they continue to do evil day in and day out. And they don't have consequences. That's what Psalm 73 was saying, right? Their pride, they wear like a necklace. They say, where is God? He doesn't know. You know, you say that there is a God. You say that he knows everything. He doesn't know. There's no judgment. What's going on? Since the world began, things go on the same way, right? They mocked and they scorned at the apostles. And things go on the same every day. So what are you talking about? You know, the evolutionists today. Right? They mock us. They laugh at us that God created everything in the space of 6 days and all of every amazing and good and all that stuff. Come on. Billions and billions of years that it's taken to make all this. Oh, yeah, were you around? How do you know? You don't know what in the world you're talking about. You think you do. Okay. So, the wicked go on and on. They mock God. They laugh at us. They say, who God doesn't know. I'm getting away. There aren't consequences. No. You know. And And so, in that sense, their wickedness is prolonged. You see what God is doing? God is allowing them to do wickedness after wickedness, getting away with it, in order to fill up the cup of their iniquity to the brim. He's preparing them like a fattened ox for the slaughter. He's preparing them. They've given themselves over. There are communities in our land, sex perverts in our land that just form communities and have power and authority now. And God just, and it just keeps on going. It just seems to be getting worse, not better. The perversity is all over the place. There's all kinds of things that you can't talk about here because it's a mixed audience, you know, young people here. You don't want to talk about this stuff, but let me just say it's perverse. And the politicians and the media and all these intelligentsia people, elites they call themselves, are for it. They think they're moral because, let's just take abortion. They think they're moral because they defend a woman's right to rip a child from its womb and sell the baby parts. That's moral to them. For research, right? You know, to get the stem so that we can cure Lyme's disease or something. They're sick, in a word. Use a colloquial expression. And God just lets this happen, right? Goes from bad to worse. Now, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's not changed. It's always been since the fall. But the expression, it's sort of, you talk about evolution, the evolution of evil is just more and more because of technological advances, communication, and just the availability to sin more, right? You know, Cain didn't come up to his father and say, you know, I want a sex change operation. It wasn't available at the time. But now it is. And so man capitalized it, and then they're commended for this stuff. And so that in evil is expanding and is prolonged, and it's getting worse, it seems, because of the availability of it. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 12, that their evil days are being prolonged, expanding. But then in verse 13, but it shall be well, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. Now think of this, as a shadow, because he doesn't fear God. What is being pictured here is the shadow, right? And as the sun goes down, the shadow begins to extend. Right? It gets longer and longer until the sun drops all the way down, and what happens to the shadow? It vanishes. It disappears. It goes and is absorbed into the night, the darkness. That's the picture of the wicked. What's happening is he's just being going on and on in his wickedness. He's storing up condemnation for the day of wrath, for the day of judgment, when God is going to unleash his wrath upon him and send him into utter darkness, into the pit of despair, the abyss, where he will be in utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth continuously. So that's the picture here. Yeah, the wicked getting away with it for now, it seems, but it's being stored up for the day of wrath. It's like his shadow's being extended, it's going long, and then all of a sudden it vanishes into the abyss. Not so with the righteous, or those who fear God. Verses 12 and 13, It's telling us again and again that those who fear God, it's going to be well with them. It's going to go well with them. Those who fear God are those who trust in His Word, who have exercised their faith given to them by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe in His Son, to bow before Jesus Christ and confess their faults and repent of their sins. Embrace the Savior with both arms and just draw Him into their lives and make Him their all and all. It shall be well with them. God's grace is going to see their days are like a shadow too, right? The righteous, those who fear God. This is like a shadow too. So depending on how long you live, some of us here are elderly and we've lived a pretty long time. And your shadow is extending like the sun's going down upon it, the sun of your life. Sunshine of your life, and your shadow is just extending, and what's going to happen? Death, right? And your shadow is going to also vanish, just like the unrighteous. But what's the diff? The diff is that your shadow is going to appear or going to vanish because of the light, the bright light of day when all shadows are gone, right? You're going to step, instead of into utter darkness, your shadow is going to fall into utter darkness. Your shadow, or the shadow of the righteous, shadow of those who fear God, is going to go into the sunlight of His love. And it's going to vanish, yes, through death, but it's going to appear. You are going to appear in the sunshine of His love, the bright, bright light of day. That's why it's going to go well with you. And now you see here, this takes faith. This takes your mind and heart on heaven and on heavenly things and on His Word and not on what these crazies are saying out there in the culture, in various places, in education, science, medicine, other religions, schools, work, whatever it is. They're all lying. Many of them. They have no understanding of these things. Why? Because they don't have faith. They don't talk about these things because they don't have faith. But you do. Okay. So then we come to this. There is a vanity. Verse 14, which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. And again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And I said, this also is vanity. And then I commended mirth. Okay, what's going on here in verses 14 and 15? Well, think of Job. What happened to Job? Job was the most righteous man in all the earth. And one bad thing after another happened so that everything wiped him out, right? He was wiped out of everything, his wife, his kids. Can you imagine? I mean, that happens to people, right? I've talked about, people having bad weeks or bad months or bad years when they're just wiped out, their wealth is wiped out, they lose their family in a car accident or in some such thing. They might live or a child might live but lost its parents. Things happen like that. Well, Job, this happened to Job, but it all happened one after the other. And so it's not impossible. I mean, it's not something that is unlikely to happen. It happens. And so one bad thing after the other happened to Job. He lost everything. And what did his friends conclude? His friends concluded, look, Job, God's punishing you. Man, you did something wrong. I mean, these things just don't happen to righteous people. Job, there's something wrong in your life. You're not confessing your fault. You're not confessing your sin. Aren't you inclined to think that way sometimes? Why are you punishing me, Lord? I know I've done something wrong. What is it? You're not thinking. Now, sometimes it's pretty obvious when you do something wrong and there's a consequence for that sin. Sometimes there is. You mess around with the wrong kind of people, you're going to get in trouble. There's a consequence to that, right? If you mess around with dirty people, you're going to get a sickness. Consequence of sin. But sometimes there's no consequence of sin. Not a straight cause and effect kind of a consequence. Relation. So, in this is case with Job. Job was the most righteous man in all the earth, and his friends concluded that he was unrighteous because of all these bad things happening in his life. I think you should stop and think about that the next time you complain about something happening to you. Car breaks down, or you know, the wheels on your shopping cart fall off, or something, you know, that you come, oh, you're so low on me, it's so horrible. You know? Think about it. Doesn't define your righteousness, your character, who you are, does it? These things happen. And we can't get to understand them. Why? We're limited. We're limited in our understanding of these things. But let me just talk about this real fast before I get to the to more important things. Verse 15. I commended birth because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of the labor of the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. This is a good thing. Eat, drink, and be merry is a good thing in this particular case. The difference is he's not saying give yourself over to the house of feasting, to mirth in that sense, to the house of feasting. He condemns that in Ecclesiastes 7. But he's saying that, look, appreciate the things that God gives you today because tomorrow is not in your hands. Tomorrow is in the hands of God. If you have food for the day, if you have help for the day and comfort for the day, thank him for it. Because that's all you have at the moment. You can't control your future. You can't control everything that's going to happen in your life that comes into your life tomorrow and the next and the next. God does that. But you can enjoy and appreciate the blessings of the day. And God is saying, be content. You see, the ungodly can't be that way. They give themselves over to the pleasure principle. They give themselves over to this world and the things of this world. And they have to accumulate them. They have to have security in these things because that's where their happiness lies, only for a moment. Only for their life, maybe. And then it's gone. And that's what he's saying. In this particular case, yes, eat, drink, and be merry. In the word merry is rejoice. When I apply my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for there is that neither day nor night, I see sleep. Then I behold all the works of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labored to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. So you see, he's saying that, look, we're limited in our understanding. Again, God has sent enough examples into our lives through the Holy Scriptures that we know he is in charge of everything. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's all-powerful. He's majestic. And he is a righteous and just judge. How do we know that? Because when we know, we go back to the Scriptures. And what was the flood all about? The flood was an indication of God's judgment, right? God's judgment upon the earth. Everyone was wiped out except for eight souls. That is those who were chosen. Those who were elect and chosen of God to remain. All the rest of mankind was wiped out. God displayed his justice and his judgment against Egypt when they held his people, and Moses said, by inspiration of God, let my people go, and Pharaoh would not. So he sent plague after plague after plague until it broke Pharaoh, until he had to let the people go. And God's judgment was upon Egypt. Well, what did they do after they let the people go? They decided to chase them to the and trap them in at the sea and destroy them all, get rid of them once and for all. And what did God do? He opened up a path through the Red Sea and let his people go through while the Egyptians tried the same thing, and the waters closed upon them and drowned the entire Egyptian army. God showed his displeasure again and again against Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked, perverse, sin, chock full of sins, not only sex sins, but other sins. He opened up a window of heaven in the sky and poured out the burning coals of hell upon the twin cities, and it just roasted them and destroyed the entire cities, both the cities, in that judgment. And so we know that God is righteous and just, and he will judge the wicked. But you see, because we have those things in Scripture, we can't expect that we're going to be able to see his judgment day by day by day. We must exercise our faith. God has given those things for our faith to help us to understand that there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of judgment coming when all the wicked will be judged and you, the righteous, will be vindicated. That day is ahead of us. That day God has promised, and he's shown us that he will execute his judgment against them. But in the things that happen to us day by day by day, we can't see it all. We don't have the whole picture yet. And so that's why he says, eat, drink, and be merry. Appreciate, be thankful for what you have. Be content in whatever the day brings, good or not so good. That God is in control. He's seeing you through. He's getting you through. And you will come through and arrive in the clear light of heaven. All shadows will be gone. But you'll be in the light and the glory of God forever and ever in Jesus Christ. That's what's happening here. That's the wisdom, small portion of the wisdom that's included in Ecclesiastes in this particular chapter, in this pericope, these verses 9 through 17, particularly verses 12 through 17. A wonderful Savior is our God. Wonderful promises. Therefore, we conclude by saying, Lord, because I am limited and I can't know day by day by day how your plan is working out and put them all together, put all the pieces together, I know that you're in control and you will bring all things to pass according to your perfect will and glory in Jesus Christ, and you will bring me to heaven. And the wicked, none of the wicked, none of the unrighteous will get there. They will not be there one whit. There's not going to be a sin or an unsaved or unsavory character in all of heaven. Therefore, I pray every day, whatever the day may bring, good or not so good, I pray not my will be done, because like I would mess up things so bad. If I were in control, for example, of the weather, I would mess it up. Royally mess it up. I'm not in control. Thanks be to God and Jesus Christ. Therefore, I always pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done, not my will. I place my trust wholly in thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Lead us in your way, the way everlasting, for your great name's sake. You have all the purposes you have everything worked out. And we know this. By faith we know this. And by the Scriptures, of course, because you have revealed it to us in the Scripture, that you are a loving God towards all of your people, but you are also a just God. And you will punish the wicked according to their sins. But the righteous in Jesus Christ and in him alone will be in heaven with you. Those who fear your name, in the name of Christ, those who believe in you by amazing grace, by the power of amazing grace, will be with you in glory. And we're looking forward to that day. And yet, with the Apostle John, we pray, even now, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In these things we say, in these things we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Let's close with hymn number 367. Hymn 367. And let's rise up to sing this hymn.